Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Know After You by Nicole Pyland, narrated by Melissa Moran. Chapter 1. When Danielle Alexandria Wilder was born, her mother knew she was special. She probably had no reason to think so. All mothers thought their children were beautiful, brilliant, and talented. However, by the time Danielle, as she was then known, was 11 months old, her mother had entered her into a beautiful baby contest at their local mall. Danielle had won the contest. Her parents had gotten a gift card. They also earned themselves a contract with a local modeling agency that specialized in children. Danielle spent her third birthday at a photo shoot for a catalog. Her fifth birthday was spent at a commercial shoot for a local discount store. Her sixth birthday party had to be held 3 weeks after the date because she'd been cast in an independent film that was shot three towns over. She was able to go to regular schools. Of that, she would always be grateful. She did miss a lot of it, though. Once she had entered high school, her modeling career took off. She wasn't doing local jobs anymore. She had become Danny by the time she was 13. Her then 5'9 height, long light brown hair and bright green eyes, along with her high cheekbones, made her a perfect runway model. One of her first runways was for an up-and-coming designer during New York Fashion Week. She would always remember that day because it was the first time she'd felt like a true model. But she would also remember it for another reason later. On that day, the song she had walked down the runway to was by a fresh new face on the country music scene. Her name was Peyton Gloss. The song they'd played over the speakers as she'd walked had fit the mood of the show perfectly. However, the song Danny was currently listening to, 10 years later, was more pop than country and wasn't on speakers. Peyton Gloss was standing in front of Danny's table, alone on the stage. She had a guitar and a microphone. Her bright blue eyes flickered with the stage lights that were aimed all around her. Peyton's hair was just past her shoulders and in thick waves, and it had been strategically swept away from her face. The song she was singing was a slow one. It was beautiful. Peyton Gloss was beautiful.
"Hey, I'm going to get a drink," Stephen said into her ear.
"Huh?" Danny shook herself out of the hypnosis she'd been in since the moment Peyton took the stage.
"Drink? The waiter hasn't been around since the performance started. I'm going to the bar. Do you want anything?"
"No," Danny replied somewhat gruffly before returning her attention to the stage.
"What's wrong?"
"Stephen, she's performing. Shut up."
"Fine."
Stephen stood, slid his chair back under the table, and made his way to the bar. Danny wasn't entirely sure where he ended up. Her eyes were back on Peyton. Peyton was wearing heels that made her appear even taller than she was. Danny knew Peyton Gloss was taller than most girls. As a woman that was now 6'1", Danny understood that. She also kind of liked that Peyton still wore heels. Stephen was only 5'10". He often requested Danny wore flats when they went out together so that he wouldn't appear that much shorter than her. He'd even inserted lifts in his shoes sometimes so that they'd be about the same height. Danny had seen articles and magazines of Peyton out with her boyfriends or doing interviews on the red carpet. She'd always worn heels, even when her boyfriends were definitely shorter. Danny smiled at the thought before she glanced down at her own ballet flats.
"Thank you,"
Peyton said into the microphone the moment the sound from the final note strummed away and left the room in silence. The room applauded the superstar who had been famous ever since that first album topped the country charts, but had gotten even more notoriety recently when she released a pop album that showed nearly no traces of her country roots. Danny had all the woman songs on her phone, but she had never been able to make it to a show. Her career had always gotten in the way, but she wouldn't ever complain about that, of course. She'd been incredibly blessed in her life. She had sacrificed things, but she would do it all over again if she had to. She was happy in her life. Her parents and younger brother were taken care of. She had enough money to more than support herself. She had Stephen, too. She had a good life. She nodded to herself at the thought as she applauded Peyton, who waved and left the stage.
"The bartender actually carded me," Stephen said when Danny approached him at the bar moments later. "Can you believe that?"
he asked without really asking.
You're only 24, Stephen. He probably has to check. It's kind of his job, Danny replied.
I got you a white wine.
He handed her the glass Danny didn't actually want. She watched him take a sip of his whiskey neat and place the glass on one of the high tables by the bar. He then pulled out his phone and started typing.
It's after 10. Do you think you'll be ready to go soon?
He asked without looking up at her. The silent auction hasn't even started, Danny replied.
I paid 10 grand for the table, Danny. I think they got enough money out of us tonight.
I wanted to bid, Stephen. You gave them that money. I haven't actually donated anything yet. She placed her wine glass on the table next to him.
If you want to go, though, that's fine. I can get a ride home from Jill, she said of her best friend, who joined them for the evening with her husband. No, it's fine, Stephen shrugged. I just have a ton of work to do.
He finally looked up at her then.
Sorry, I'm taking my stress out on you. I shouldn't.
Stephen was the youngest of 3 brothers, with his oldest one deciding to become a Catholic priest and his middle brother opting for a career in politics. Stephen had been left to manage his family's real estate fortune. His father had passed away a few years prior. His mother had always stayed at home. It was all put on Stephen's shoulders, and he was only 24 years old. He'd invested much of his trust fund into 2 tech startups that were doing very well. But that left him with 3 businesses that usually needed some kind of response from him.
It's okay, Danny told him with a small smile. You really can go if you want. Jill and Adam will take me home when I'm ready. It would be easier if you'd just move in with me, Danny.
He slid his phone into his pocket. Where'd that come from?
My place is closer to here than your place is, she said. Right. If you'd just finally move in with me, it would make things easier. Like, I can't ask Adam and Jill to take you all the way out to my place when your place is so much closer. But I was hoping you'd stay at my place tonight. You're leaving for Hawaii tomorrow, and I'm in Vancouver for the next week.
Oh, she said. We've talked about this, though.
I know, I get it. We're young, we're busy. I know all that.
Danny, we've been together for over 2 years. I know when our anniversary is, Stephen. Danny crossed her arms over her chest. I'm usually the one that reminds you.
This isn't about that. It's just that, I don't know.
He sighed rather loudly.
I feel like I'm always waiting on you, Danny.
Stephen's phone rang in his pocket, and Danny felt somewhat grateful for a chance to delay this conversation for at least the length of a business call.
Sorry, I have to take this, Stephen told her when he glanced at the screen. Hello?
He took a few steps away from her. That dress is amazing, a voice said from behind her. Danny didn't want to be presumptuous. There was a great chance that compliment wasn't directed at her. The room was filled with beautiful women in beautiful dresses. This formal affair nearly always drew the highest of the high-end crowd, of which Danny was a member merely because of her relationship with Stephen. She likely never would have been invited had he not bought the table each year. Danny turned around anyway, though, on the off chance that the comment had been directed at her.
Whoa,
she muttered mainly to herself when she caught sight of Peyton Gloss standing in front of her.
She's right. It's a great color, the woman standing next to Peyton added. Peyton, white or red?
Sparkling water, Peyton told her. The woman walked off to join the line at the bar. Danny glanced behind her for a second to see that Stephen was still on his phone.
That's
Lennox Owen, Peyton interrupted her.
Right, Danny said.
And you're Danny Wilder, Peyton said. Peyton, she added, holding out her hand for Danny to shake with the widest and also the whitest smile Danny had ever seen that wasn't photoshopped.
You know who I am? Danny asked.
Then she took Peyton's hand to shake. Her fingers slid against the softest skin she'd ever touched.
You play guitar? She asked the dumbest question in the world, but earned the continuation of that million-watt smile.
I mean, of course you do. I just watched you do it. She shook her head rapidly from side to side as her cheeks warmed with embarrassment.
What did you think?
Peyton asked.
Just that your hands aren't calloused at all, Danny said. My friend Jill plays guitar. Not like you, she plays for fun, but she has calluses sometimes.
Peyton laughed and replied, I meant about the playing.
What did you think about the song?
It was great. I love all your songs, though.
It was then that Danny realized she was still holding on to Peyton's hand.
Sorry, she let it go.
Don't be. Peyton looked behind Danny to the line that her friend Lennox was still standing in.
Do you want to come over here?
She asked, pointing toward one of the tables.
Oh, sure, Danny replied.
I don't want to keep you, though, if you have to go.
I don't, Peyton offered softly.
They walked for a few seconds to find an empty table. Danny watched the people around them move aside as if the woman beside her had the power to part the Red Sea. For once, no eyes were on Danny. They were all on the pop star. Danny couldn't blame them. Peyton was gorgeous up close. Danny was used to being surrounded by gorgeous women. But Peyton, right now, in those skinny jeans that had a little shine to them and that sleeveless black shirt, was doing something to her. Her heart was beating faster than she'd possibly ever felt it. Her skin felt clammy, including the hands she was trying to covertly wipe on her dress. Her breaths were coming in short and shallow, and going out the same way.
Here's your sparkling water, Lennox said when she met them at the table.
Thanks, Len. Peyton smiled at her. Lennox, this is Danny Wilder. Danny, this is my bestie for life, Lennox Owen.
Nice to meet you, Lennox said with an outstretched hand.
You too, Danny replied, taking that hand, shaking it, returning it, and then wondering why shaking Lennox's hand had provided a completely different reaction than shaking Peyton's.
I like your movies, she added.
Thanks, Lennox said with a smile that was nearly as white as Peyton's, but not quite as perfect.
So you're here to donate some money like the rest of us, I take it?
It's a good cause, Danny said, and glanced in Peyton's direction. Peyton appeared to be staring at her over her glass of sparkling water. Her eyes glistened. Her skin was perfection, and Danny already knew how soft it was. She smiled at Peyton again, not knowing what else to say or do.
Hey, you left your wine over there,
Stephen said, placing the glass of white wine on the table in front of Danny.
Oh, hi.
He looked up to see she wasn't alone.
Stephen.
Peyton. Peyton pointed at herself.
Lennox.
She pointed at Lennox.
Nice to meet you,
he replied, looking at Peyton, then Danny, then down at his phone, which beeped at the same time.
Sorry, I just need to respond to this.
I saw you walk once in Paris. I was there for Fashion Week,
Lennox told Danny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know how you guys do that. I'll take making a movie any day over walking down a runway in 6-inch heels, wearing the things you do, Lennox added.
You get used to it, I guess, Danny shrugged.
You do it really well, Peyton said. Danny smiled at her, and she knew she was blushing. She couldn't stop it even if she tried. So she just lowered her head for a moment to try to gather herself. Although she was used to famous people, she'd never had this kind of reaction to one before. She felt something on her hand, which was gripping the glass of wine she knew she wouldn't drink. When she looked back up, she noticed that Peyton's hand was an inch away from her own, but the woman's index finger had been the one touching her fingers only a moment ago. Peyton smiled a small smile now. And there was something about it. It was a shy smile. It wasn't the superstar smile Danny had seen in pictures and on stage. There was something very personal about this smile. Danny knew somehow that this smile was only for her.
Chapter 2.
Is it just me, or is she really pretty? Peyton asked Lennox.
She's a supermodel, Peyton. I don't exactly think they make them in Hideous,
Lennox replied, smiling at her own joke.
No, I mean, like, more than that.
Peyton nodded in the direction of Danny Wilder, who was talking to Stephen, the same guy who had so rudely interrupted them earlier. He was obviously her boyfriend. Peyton knew who he was. Stephen English was a trust fund kid who'd invested in a few tech companies here and there. Peyton knew him because one of his startups wanted her to endorse a pair of noise-canceling headphones a couple of years ago. She had tried them, hadn't liked them, and then declined the offer.
It's weird, sorry.
She shook her head at herself. Then she noticed Danny turning back around to them. Should we leave you two alone? She asked, cursed herself silently for even suggesting it, and took a drink of her now near-empty sparkling water.
I'll grab you another, Lennox said, elbowing her with a smirk on her face.
Lennox started to walk off back toward the bar.
Peyton would tell her what an asshole she was later when they were alone. Right now, though, she was completely enamored with Danny Wilder, who appeared to not want that white wine in front of her at all.
Hey, Len?
Yeah?
Lennox turned. What do you want? Peyton asked Danny.
Sorry?
To drink, Peyton told her. Oh, I'm not interested in drinking white wine right now?
Danny smiled and said, Red would be great.
Coming up, Lennox said, and continued on her quest.
Thank you, Danny told Peyton.
Not a white wine drinker? Peyton asked her, leaning a little over the table. Sometimes, I just didn't want it tonight. Every now and then it gives me a headache, and I'm on a flight tomorrow, so I didn't want to wake up with one.
Danny leaned in as well, matching Peyton's posture. The table wasn't all that large. It was a cocktail party high-top table that could fit drinks and some small plates, but definitely wasn't made for a crowd. With the two of them leaning over it now, Peyton could almost feel Danny's breath on her skin.
Where are you going? Peyton asked.
7 o'clock flight to Maui. I have a shoot there the following morning. I'm only staying the night. Then I come home.
And home is New York?
Yes. You?
My plans for tomorrow? Peyton asked, confused by the question.
Sorry, and I did recognize you earlier, Peyton.
Stephen approached the table, setting his phone down next to Danny's still full glass.
I had a few emails I need to answer.
No problem, Peyton said.
She then watched as Stephen put his hand on the small of Danny's back. Danny didn't look at Stephen, though. Her eyes remained on Peyton's. I'm staying in town for a while, Peyton offered, referring them back to their conversation.
New York?
I'll be here for the next few months while I work on the next album, she replied. I usually record in LA, but I wanted to do something different for this next album.
So you'll be hanging out in New York? Danny asked with a growing smile on her face.
I will be, yes. Peyton's smile matched Danny's.
Are you going to Hawaii with her, Stephen?
She asked, but didn't take her eyes off Danny's remarkable green ones.
No, I have a couple of investor meetings tomorrow. I'm in Canada for the rest of the week, he replied, removing his hand from Danny's back when his phone chimed again. That's my mom. He shrugged a shoulder. Sorry, babe. Give me a minute.
Tell her hi for me.
Danny watched as Stephen walked off.
He's a busy guy, Peyton said. That he is, Danny agreed.
7 in the morning, huh?
What?
Danny asked, leaning in even further.
Tomorrow morning?
Your flight.
Peyton leaned in as well.
Oh, right.
What airline?
Hawaiian.
Do you like Hawaiian?
Peyton asked with what she knew was a slight smirk on her face.
It's okay. Danny smiled back at her.
Why?
I have a plane.
You could use it, Peyton offered.
You just have a plane that I can use? Danny laughed.
Peyton nearly burst with joy at the sound of it.
What the hell was that?
Danny's smile, Danny's laugh, Danny's everything right now was making her heart race harder than her first performance in front of a record executive all those years ago.
I have a plane, yes. You can use it.
And why would I want to do that? Danny asked. I've got my first class window seat.
Is it next to my aisle seat? Peyton asked.
I don't know. Are you on a flight 638 to Maui tomorrow morning?
No. Peyton said seriously.
Do you want to go to Hawaii, Peyton?
Yes.
She watched as Danny gulped. Lennox returned. A glass of red wine was placed in front of Danny. A glass of sparkling water was placed in front of Peyton.
What did I miss? Lennox asked. Danny, can I borrow you?
Stephen approached and asked.
Sure.
Danny left the table reluctantly and walked off with Stephen. Peyton's eyes followed her until she said,
Thanks for the refill.
No problem. You two seem to be getting cozy, Lennox said.
Cozy?
Peyton asked, looking over at her friend. Yes, cozy, Lennox laughed.
Hey, you're someone that has a lot of friends. I'm used to you meeting someone, liking them, and inviting them to your next show or event or something. But I have no idea what's going on here.
Sorry, I should probably be going, Danny delivered upon her return.
Everything okay? Peyton asked.
Stephen's mom needs him to stop by. She is a diabetic and is having problems with her insulin pump, Danny replied. He knows how to fix it, and I told him I'd go with him since she likes me and I have a way of calming her down when she's anxious.
I'm sure you do, Peyton said. Sorry, I just meant that it was nice meeting you, Lennox told Danny.
You too.
Danny then looked at Peyton. Her green eyes met Peyton's blue ones. Peyton knew then that something had transpired tonight. She wasn't sure she could identify it if asked, but something had occurred.
I meant what I said, Danny. Can I borrow your phone? She asked.
Babe, we've got to go,
Stephen said, staring down at his phone again.
Sure.
Danny passed her cell phone to Peyton after unlocking it. Peyton quickly entered her phone number. Then, thinking that she didn't want to chance not talking to Danny Wilder again, she sent a text to her own phone from Danny's in order to capture the woman's number. She passed it back to Danny after that.
There you go, she said.
Thanks, Danny replied with a shy smile.
I have to go, I know.
Bid on something good for me in my absence? Danny asked.
No problem, Peyton smiled at her.
Danny gave one more smile, turned, took Stephen's hand, and walked away. Peyton felt it deep down in her soul then. She couldn't name it right away, but she'd try to do that later when she cloistered herself in her music room at home and tried to find lyrics that would explain how she was feeling right now. She watched Danny, hand in hand with her boyfriend, leave the gala. Instead of feeling like she wanted to stay at the party with Lennox and enjoy themselves, Peyton knew all she wanted was to go home and spend some quality time with her guitar and her notebook. She had told Danny she would do something, though, and she would keep her word.
What should we bid on?
She asked Lennox.
Chapter 3.
Danny sat on the sofa in Stephen's living room later that night. It was technically morning now. They'd spent about an hour at Stephen's mother's house, making sure she had what she needed. Stephen also made sure to call the nurse they had checking in on his mother whenever he was out of town to set up the appointment for her to come by and check the pump and insulin supplies for tomorrow before he had to leave for the week. His mother had always been a diabetic, but it had gotten worse after his father's death. She had stopped taking care of herself then. It was a constant battle these days to get her to eat right and exercise appropriately. His brothers did what they could. Stephen did too, but they relied on staff to help when they couldn't. It was after 1 a.m. by the time they made it back to his place. Stephen had fallen asleep near instantly. Danny, however, couldn't. Because she was now staying at Stephen's place, she would have to go out of her way tomorrow morning to pick up her stuff before heading to the airport for her flight. It wasn't as if she had never done that before. It just made things unnecessarily complicated. Her phone buzzed from its position on the table. She looked down at the readout and smiled immediately.
Hey, she greeted. Hi, did I wake you?
No, I'm still up.
Did I wake Stephen?
No, he's in bed, asleep.
And you are where?
In the living room, not asleep, Danny said as her smile widened.
I just left the party.
Yeah? She leaned back into the couch.
I bid on something for you.
You did?
I did.
And what is it? Danny asked with quiet laughter because she didn't want to wake Stephen.
It's a surprise.
A surprise?
Yes.
And when will you surprise me?
Tomorrow, if you get on the plane with me.
What? Danny laughed a little louder.
I don't have any plans for the next 2 days. I was just going to write, but I can do that anywhere.
Let me fly you to Hawaii.
Peyton, I'm sure your boyfriend has a fancy plane as well, Peyton said.
He does. And why isn't he using it to fly you to Hawaii?
I didn't ask him to.
Ask me, Peyton said softly. Danny had to think about it for a moment. She had no idea what was happening.
She'd heard stories about how generous Peyton was with her friends. There were several annual parties where the woman went all out. There were gifts that weren't about money but were personal to the one she gave them to. Peyton was a kind friend. Of that, Danny was certain.
Okay, tomorrow morning? At maybe 8 instead of 7?
Now you're negotiating? Danny laughed again.
You'll come to find out, Danny Wilder, that I am not a morning person.
8 is fine, Danny agreed.
I'll have a car pick you up. Text me Steven's address?
I wasn't planning on staying here. My stuff is at my place.
Then text me Steven's address and the car will take you there first.
I can get a...
Danny?
Yeah?
Just text me the address, okay?
She asked sweetly.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow, Peyton said.
They hung up after that. Danny still had a ridiculous smile on her face. She stood, made her way into Steven's bedroom, and moved into the bathroom to take care of a few things. Then, she slid under the blanket and lay on her back, facing the ceiling. Moments later, Steven shifted in the bed, sliding over to encourage her to rest against his chest. Danny did so because it was what they typically did when she slept over at his townhouse. Her eyes closed after a few minutes of listening to his slow, even breathing. Instead of thinking about the boyfriend she was snuggled up against, though, she was thinking about Peyton Gloss, America's sweetheart, and maybe the most beautiful woman in the world.
Peyton? Danny questioned.
Hey, I'm here to pick up Miss Danielle Wilder for her flight, Peyton said with a smile.
Danny?
Steven's voice came from behind her. Danny turned from the spot where she was holding open the front door of Steven's house for Peyton. She'd thought the driver would be at the door. She'd thought wrong. Instead, she found Peyton Gloss standing in front of her, looking like someone who was definitely a morning person. Peyton had her hair pulled back in a ponytail. She had on just a little makeup, but it was enough that Danny could tell she was wearing it. She had on a comfortable-looking hooded sweatshirt with NYU on the front in white letters and a pair of well-worn jeans with all-white tennis shoes.
Morning,
Peyton said in Steven's direction as he came up behind Danny.
Good morning. What are you doing here?
Steven asked, wrapping his arms possessively around Danny's middle and kissing her cheek.
He doesn't know.
He was asleep, remember? Danny said to Peyton, and then turned to face Steven to add, Peyton is flying me to the photo shoot today.
Why?
He asked her, looking confused as he stood there in a pair of dark green boxers and a white undershirt.
Because she wanted to,
Danny replied. Anyway, I've got to go so that we can run by my place and get my stuff.
If she's flying you there, what's the hurry?
He asked. I've kind of got the plane and the crew on standby. We really should get going, Peyton interjected politely.
Danny, I could have flown you there, he said softly to her.
She offered Steven. You're busy today anyway. I didn't want to give you one more thing to worry about.
It's my job to worry about you. I'm the boyfriend.
Danny kissed Steven's cheek and said, I know. She offered last night. I should go, though. I'll see you next weekend when you get back?
Sure.
He leaned in and kissed her on the lips gently.
I love you.
Danny felt strange then. She'd been with Steven for over 2 years. They'd said those three words to one another thousands of times by now. It was all so easy to say those words to him. When they'd met, she was 16. He was 17. They began as friends and remained that way for years before he finally worked up the courage to ask her out on a date. They dated for several months before Danny had finally called him her boyfriend. He had told her he loved her the night they had their first time together. It had been her first time ever, and she was only his second. She had said it a few weeks later. Then she had moved her primary residence to New York. He'd bought the townhouse from his father and had asked her to move in. She had declined then, citing their young age and her evolving career. He'd asked her at least once every few months if she was ready. Each time she had said no, but she had promised that one day she would be ready for those steps with him. It was now over 2 years since their first date, and currently, Danny wasn't sure if she would ever be ready for everything he wanted with her. Steven was only 24 years old. yet he was talking about moving in together, engagement, marriage, and children.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?